Well, apart from mentally not being right and physically not being right, there wasn't too much wrong with what Nick Kyrgios was doing last night. Up two sets to love against Seppi. Seppi came back, and ironically, it was Seppi who gave up a two sets to love lead 12 months ago to a bloke called Nick Kyrgios himself. Quite extraordinary what we saw happen. It was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. I wonder what Roger Rashid thought of it all. He was courtside with his comments and then, in the end, booed off court. Not Roger, but Nick Kyrgios. It's pretty tough when you get booed off court in your home country. Roger Rashid joins us. G'day, Rog.
Hey, good morning, guys. There might have been the odd one or two for me. Who knows? Yeah. I'm prepared to take 10%.
No, 10%. Mate, I reckon you're kidding yourself. Mate, no one booed you off. They were just impressed by your stature as you walked off the court.
It's got a bit serious now for Nick Kyrgios when you see that at your home open and then you have John McEnroe come out and say you are a black mark on the game. That's heavy stuff.
I mean, look, let's yeah, well, I think you sort of you got to sit back and have a look at it all, and from Nick's side of the fence, what happened? He was in control of the tennis match, came out extremely well. Wow, he was hitting the ball so cleanly, so loose. Was coming off his racket fast. There was no tension in his body. There's not normally much tension in his body right throughout a tennis match, but really impressed with the start that he got and jumped out of the block. And, you know, when you win that first set so comfortably, second set looked good. And then, you know, start of the third set, things were just looking like a standard three-set win, which I thought it was going to be a three-set tennis match. And so I was looking good. And then there was a bit of fatigue somewhere in his legs that took place at some point. And sometimes with tennis matches, you could be going along completely fine, and then all of a sudden, something will hit you, and that's fine.
What hit him, Rog: lack of preparation, lack of hard work.
Yeah, exactly. So there's obviously a backstory, but you know, but when that moment happens, you know, what would have been great if the scoreline was, I think it was about 3-2. The scoreline then was like, you know, okay, I've got to dig in here for 15 or 20 minutes, and I'm going to be off the tennis court. I've got enough weapons. I can make things happen. But there was a lot of back and forth through his box. Obviously, it was headed towards the people that had made him sort of get out there and obviously get into a gym session or do something physical the day before. And sometimes when you might be thinking about doing something physical the day before, preparing yourself for potentially the second week, that obviously didn't match up with Nick. And then from there on, he couldn't reel it in, and it got... you know, that became part of his tennis model. What, instead of taking on his opponent and just dealing with his opponent, he was then having to take on himself as well, and a few other things, obviously, mentally, that was tough to take. And we saw what we saw in the third, you know, in the halfway through the third, through to the fourth, and he battled it through to the fifth. And, you know, the ability to actually go out and break serve to get yourself back in the match. The match point he had, he played a really good match point, to be perfectly honest. So we could have been here talking about a different story. And Seppi came up with a massive upline winning shot to actually win that. He didn't have much room to hit it into, because if it hadn't been that accurate, he could have missed it wide. Or if he had hit it in the pocket of Nick, Nick would have hit the ball cross court and hit the winner. And so we would have been sitting here talking about, gee, he had a lull. He actually got through. Wasn't great in the third and fourth, but he actually found a way through.
If you only had something, she'd be your uncle. You know, we're not talking about that, mate. We're talking about a spectacular meltdown from a bloke who
is number 14 in the world.
And I'm agreeing. It wasn't all good. And Nick made those comments to the press. He made some statements. He understands that there are things that he needs to look at. He acknowledged them.
But is that lip service?
Oh, I don't think so. I feel like there's, when I'm watching him now, and look, I know the on-court stuff, that might take some more time. There's no doubt about that. For me, as a coach, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to look at it when I'm actually on their commentary, is actually thinking, okay, if I'm sitting here in the box at the moment, I've got this, what am I dealing with and how do I deal with it? I've got a... quite a complex individual who's got an amazing character who could be an amazing person for the game. How do I shape it from here? And I've got to give him more time. You know, I've got to actually get some. I've got to get the right people in front of him more often, and then for him to buy into that message. And then from there, I think there will be some change, because I can see already that conversation that he had in the press conference, that was him thinking and knowing that that wasn't good enough from his perspective. And I need to make some more changes. So there's going to be plenty of hurdles, boys, I think, that he's going to still run into. But I feel like that might have meant something.
Well,
do you think I'm being too nice?
Oh, mate,
I do. Personally, Rog, sorry, man. I think you are being way too nice.
No, I'm
the bloke needs a rocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on. This is repeat behaviour, Rog.
No, I know. There's on-court.
This isn't a one-off. This is a repeat behaviour. This is a bloke who was suspended for not giving his all on a sporting field. He had the beautiful time to get away from tournament play, have a great pre-season, get himself fit, and all of a sudden he's explaining that he's physically not in shape because he preferred to play basketball than practice tennis.
No, I agree.
As I was saying, I'm
agreeing with the on-court. I'm disagreeing with what happens post-match, because the post-match conversation and the language that he's using is different. He's actually now acknowledging a few things. He hasn't been open about acknowledging the situation with coaching, with his physical condition, with his mentality, with his mind. So those things, he's now putting them on the table. And the first thing to actually getting better is actually acknowledging and making that known. So he's actually done that. Now, so the language is different for me from a coaching perspective. I'm hearing different things, which means you've actually, there's a chance to turn things around.
Well, the proof's in the eating. So
let's, yeah, for sure.
So just quickly, before we move off, Nick, because it's pretty easy to talk about him.
Look, it was an amazing, amazing being on the court. Yeah. You couldn't see it unfolding. You just, all you thought about was, hey, lock in. I actually wanted to yell out. Hey, mate, just give me 10 minutes of 10 minutes of quality and we're all out of here.
Roger, I think you wanted to, and the whole world, because everyone else other than Nick could see it, put in for 10 minutes here, you'll break him, and he had a love 40 game, which he unfortunately didn't break him, and mate, you'll serve it out, and you can go sit down and have a shower, and go and play basketball if you want. Everyone in the world could see that.
Hold on.
An amazing...
So he tanks it at Wimbledon, tanks it last night, two of the biggest stages in the world. So he didn't wake up after Wimbledon. He didn't wake up after getting suspended again late last year, but he's going to wake up now. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know what? If it takes you three or four times, it might take you three or four times, TK. I'm just playing. I'm not prepared to just...
Do you want to coach him?
Oh, you'd love to have that, because there's so much work to do, which I would love. Because that's just in my headspace. That's my headspace. You know, I love the mind side of the game.
Is it a possibility that you coach him?
Who knows? I mean, if there was a conversation, you'd be.
Does he want to be coached by you?
I'm not sure. This morning, right now, I don't think you. I think he wants to have a rest.
So my question's a bit like it's all good and well, and I agree. He needs. I can't believe he doesn't have a coach. But anyway, that's.
Yeah, the beauty of that last night was, if there was someone in his group that was that he was prepared to be listening to in that scenario right there, you would have, as a coach, you would have made an impact immediately. You would have seen what was going on, and you would have driven home the fact that stay alert, stay in this for 10 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes. You would have made an impact with him, even if you had a fight with him by making that impact. Where he actually, okay, I'll show you, that type of mentality, you would have got him over the line in that third set, and you would have been done. But so that's the beauty of having someone there. You would have been able to have an impact when it was actually going out of control. But what happened was, the minute he was having the dialogue with the people in his box, they went completely silent. There was nothing anybody was saying.
So he bosses them around. In fact, too many hangers on around there.
Yeah, but the tennis player bosses the coach as well, Rog. That's what I don't like about your setup.
No, not my setup.
No, but that's what I...
The coaching setup.
It does happen, but, you know, regardless at the time, that if you had a quality coach in there, they would have made that impact. That scoreline would not have happened. You would have been able to stop the scoreline.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's move off.
McEnroe's comments are quite fine. He's well in his right.
Of course, he is.
So, and you know, I saw Mats Wilander afterwards. Mats Wilander was shaking his head because only because he said to me, "Don't they realise how big an opportunity this is? I mean, this is a great game, and the talent pool." Well, I said to Mats, "Yes, the facts are that he does realise all that, but it's you played, you loved it, you lived and breathed it, different era." You know, there's a lot more going on. I think it's more complex than Nick. And until he finds, you know, someone that can be in front of him that he can actually work with him on it, then I think there's, you know, there's, we're going to still watch this roller coaster.
Yeah. Okay. Just quickly, Federer wins, Murray wins, Wawrinka wins. Tomic, just a quick comment on him. He's got through 3-1. Three sets to one, 7-5, 7-6, 6-4, 7-6. He's moving on nicely.
Yeah, it was a tough match for him physically as well. There were issues if we got to the fourth set. He was struggling. He was getting pushed around, and so that's another issue as well. Sure. He's spoken about physical, so that there's a problem. But he got through third round. He plays Marin Cilic now, who will definitely expose him physically. So Andy Murray had an ankle injury, rolled his ankle. He's good now, so I don't think there's going to be a problem there. But there was a moment there that number one seed. So Andy was in a bit of strife.
Yeah, sure.
Good on you, Rog. We'll let your mental analysis of Nick Kyrgios.
You thought I was soft, then, didn't you, TK?
I just think I jumped back on board about 12 months ago. Then he let me down again. So yeah, I only fall for someone twice, Rog. It's all right. Good on you, Rog.
Fair point.